This is the Marketplace Morning Report. I'm David Brancaccio. And a reminder just how much all this artificial intelligence is going to shake the workplace to its core. One man who studies this carefully is James Manyika, director of the McKinsey Global Institute. He was a key voice in my series, Robot Proof Jobs. Thanks for coming into the New York Bureau here.
Thank you for having me, David.
All right, we hear a lot about software, robots, automation, but artificial intelligence, that's starting to be of practical use in the real world.
So we should be clear, when people refer to artificial intelligence, they're largely talking about deep learning techniques that are based on neural networks. And these are finding enormous application in the real practical world. So a lot of the problems that these techniques get applied to are what you might call classification problems. So that's when you're trying to decide, this looks like a fault, this one doesn't. This looks like an anomaly in a production process, this one doesn't. And also a whole bunch of estimation problems and prediction problems. It looked like you looked at this, David, so maybe now you want to buy this. Or I've looked at your conversations, and I think the next thing you're going to say is the following, or I'm now trying to understand your speech.
This is very different from the way that software throughout our lifetimes has been able to do much more simple if this, then this calculation. This is rather deeper.
Oh, it's much, much deeper. And this goes back to the way neural networks work, which is these, we try and mimic the structure of the brain through these things called perceptrons and layers that try and get a lot, ingest a lot of information and try and build patterns through them to be able to then predict what's going to happen next or to try to classify things. It's very, very different. You don't write rules for this, which also, by the way, raises another different question, which is explainability, because quite often we actually can't explain why the machine learning algorithm has decided A versus B.
That's a little unsettling. Well, the computer figured it out, and that's what we're going to do because the computer's smart.
Right.
But if, you know, this is science fiction stuff. In fact, in 50 years ago, when the famous film 2001 came out, it was a fault, I think, in the neural network that the plot turns upon. Be that as it may, people running businesses now may need to understand this technology better.
Oh, they absolutely need to understand it. In fact, one of the things we've done is we've looked at something like over 500 use cases. These are actual problems in the real world that typically businesses are trying to figure out. Again, predictive maintenance, for example, trying to understand information in supply chains, for example. A lot of these lend themselves very easily to these techniques. And in fact, we actually found that if you take two big areas in business, a lot of sales and marketing activities, there's a huge amount you can do using these techniques. Supply chain operations, for example, is the other second big arena where you can apply these techniques.
Well, sales and marketing is going to be figuring out who wants to buy your stuff.
But you also have other things like customer service. So often now when you call and, you know, quite often you may or may not be talking to a machine or a machine-based algorithm that's trying to understand your speech, trying to understand what it is you're trying to ask and trying to find the right information for you. So a lot of even customer interaction is now leveraging a lot of these techniques.
Predictive maintenance, figuring out what has to be fixed before it breaks.
Absolutely. Because what you can do there is you can understand by ingesting a whole bunch of information, how has this machine been used? When was it last checked? What kind of conditions is it operating? And taking all that information to then predict when is it likely to fail next? What should we look out for? And so forth. So predictive maintenance is a big arena. It's also an area, by the way, where we spend an enormous amount of money trying to mitigate maintenance activities.
But what's so interesting is this is not a lab exercise. This is out in the real economy now.
Oh, it absolutely is. And in fact, one of the things that's fascinating is that in many cases, these deep learning techniques are adding power, if you like, to traditional techniques we've used before. So it's not as if we've got this black and white distinction between machine learning versus traditional analytics. It's just that these are adding power to techniques we've been using for years in many cases.
Now, what does it mean, though? This is one of the core things that you and I have talked about in the past on this program, James. But what does it mean to the human who did that kind of work in the past?
It means a couple of things. One, in some cases, it means that their work changes dramatically. So as opposed to, for example, take somebody who used to spend a lot of time inspecting how things look in order to understand, for example, whether something was broken or not, they may not need to spend that much time on that anymore. They may need to do something different. So a lot of occupations are going to change quite significantly. It also means in some cases, the demand for certain occupations may start to decline. So this question of some declining occupations and some changed occupations is one of the big effects.
All right. Well, we'll continue to follow that story. I'm so glad you walked in here, Mr. Manyika, because I was dying to ask you about something in the news. The CEO of Tesla, the electric car company, he's been struggling to produce enough of those Model 3 mass market electric cars for people. He's backing off some of his production to rethink some of this. And he blamed the machines for some of this. His quote was, "Excessive automation at Tesla was a mistake." He went on, "To be precise, my mistake. Humans are underrated." I don't know. What does that say to you that he's in that position now?
Well, I think it actually confirms something that most AI researchers and roboticists have known for a very long time, which is there's certain tasks that are very easy for machines to automate, and there's some that are very, very hard. And often the hard ones involve judgment. They involve working and making decisions in very unstructured environments. And those are things that humans are very, very good at. So I think as we think about the impact of automation, being aware of, you know, where what kinds of things are machines good at and what things are very hard for machines is a very important thing to be mindful of.
Always good to talk to James Manyika, director of the McKinsey Global Institute. James, thank you.
Thanks, David.